Hey friends, welcome to the Renovating You podcast. We're so glad you're here. We don't get a do-over in life, but we do have the opportunity to renovate our story. Are you ready to get unstuck?
Are you ready to move forward?
Are you ready to thrive?
Let's do this, renovators.
Yes.
Hey renovators, welcome back. Today I am here with the renovating crew, Beth, Bethany, and Alex, making all sorts of hand gestures. I'm not sure what they mean, but it's all good. engineer extraordinaire. And I am Denise, and we are in season three, and we are finishing up today. I think it will have been six podcasts that we have done on three lies that have held us back in life, basically keeping us from who God designed us to be, what he had in mind for Bethany, Beth, and myself when he thought us into being and spoke our life as to what he wanted to author that and co-author it with us in life, and how the enemy can come in with the lies. And when that happens, it alters the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is what God wants for us, and the lies are what the enemy says God wants for us. So I think that's really important to know as we're wrapping this up here. Just a little bit of a recap on my story. Again, I encourage you to listen to last week's podcast to kind of get the full picture here. But we kind of went into really very rough childhood. Dad who was absent yet present every day, but emotionally absent. I ended up marrying twice to absent, emotionally based men as well. And that all happened basically before I was 40 years old. And so just a life that was really on a path leading nowhere, of just one broken relationship after another. A mom who was very controlling, yet a mom who led myself and my three sisters to the Lord, who also led my dad to the Lord. So again, kind of confusing pictures sometimes when I think as kids or even adults, when we look back at our parents, are like, that was good, but what is that? You know, where did that come from? And I finally kept searching and found a program in 2011 that was out in Colorado. I talked last week about how it was really on behalf of my son that I went, because truthfully, I did not think enough of myself to invest the amount of money that it took, the break from work, or even going to all the way out to Colorado for a whole week to find out what was wrong with me, quote unquote. I think in some ways it was even like, well, I don't want to find out what's wrong with me. Even that alone, I got to go out to Colorado. I got to spend all this money to find out, hey, what's wrong with Denise? But with Alex, it was more so, I'm going as preventative. Mm-hmm. This can be prevented. Yeah. I had already pretty much sealed my future in my mind.
Your life was done, but his was just beginning.
And his was just beginning. And so that is why I went. And so we kind of talked about investigating, like we've been doing, investigating what I believe, investigating my own worth, you know, really wasn't there. That yet I was a nice person. You know, I'm very helpful, certainly not a selfish person. You know, attend to church, helped out in ministry, you know, led studies at church, all the things. And was still just so broken, still trying so hard to get it right, if you will. But really, I mean, seeing him hurting so much mm-hmm. is what really brought out my pain to the surface, to where I realized that part of why he was hurting so much had to do, yes, with an absent dad, but also, let's face it, guys, the person who had the most effect on him was someone who lived with him every day. Yeah. There was a hole in him, obviously, in his heart from his dad not being involved, but I was the one that was full-time caregiver, full-time parent. And so my wounds definitely were playing in there for sure. So we just want to kind of caught you up there with I started asking questions, you know, went for help and all that. And then just kind of began to confront my life is really what I did. And for years, well, actually, you know, by then it's decades, because I went when I was 50. I did believe I was a person with a great heart, well-intentioned, but who was just too broken and too messed up, which I think maybe a lot of people feel that way. I really do think I'm awesome, but I'm just a mess. I don't know.
There's something missing.
Something's missing, and I can't find it. And I was like, at 50, if you haven't found it by 50.
Yeah, you're done.
When are you going to?
Yeah.
So this is kind of when I began to confront my lives. You know, they had been, till this point, the beliefs about myself that I believed were true simply wasn't.
Right. Yeah, they simply weren't true, right? And so you had to confront those lies. And so what were those lies that you believed to be true?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think a lot of lies have little lies that come off of them, that kind of like tentacles off of the main body of the lie. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, when I use that rear view mirror of looking in the rear view mirror, everything in my rear view mirror, yes, I knew God, he died mm-hmm. for me, but my feelings were, was I worth love and did I matter? Mm-hmm. And everything else fell underneath that,
sure,
underneath that umbrella.
And I would think that would be so many humans. Am I worth loving, mm-hmm. you know, especially when that hasn't been in the home mm-hmm. where you had a safe place to fall back on, you know, mm-hmm. you think of people who do, you know, we talked about, well, we didn't talk about the circus, but we talked about being on a Ferris wheel last, something that's in my mind. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a trapeze artist, you definitely want there to be a net to catch you mm-hmm. in life when you fall. And when the big yeah. show comes, you don't maybe have the net and you do it, you know, without that. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have that net, that mm-hmm. safe net in the home, mm-hmm. then that's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's like walking a tightrope. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's like being a part of the circus with no
yeah.
with no safety net with and which to fall into.
I just always remember feeling there was never a time, and I don't care what age it was, where I felt like they were holding the net if something happened.
Yeah.
I just, all the way back.
You would have just fell through.
Yeah.
Or they might have moved it.
Yeah.
Or left it there, and I'd hit the ground. I see the net, but, oh, mm-hmm. I hit the ground. I thought that they were holding it, but uh-huh. I see the net.
Yeah.
They were there a minute ago, but no, they're really not. They're really not there for me, you know. So, yes, I mean, the answer, you know, that God began to give me was, yes, you are worth love and you do matter, even though my feelings and thoughts didn't support it at that time. And so many times we're trying to believe something that we're trying to convince ourselves, mm-hmm. yet something inside of us mm-hmm. says, well, it must be because God says it is. So it really must be true. Why don't I feel it? But I knew in my heart of hearts that I deserved love and acceptance, but that my parents really didn't know what to do with the gift of me. And I think the way in which I had to really kind of confront that was looking at things a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My guess is it would be very difficult to look at your family of origin that you were so loyal to and mm-hmm. begin to speak truth. And yet I know you did that. And you have mentioned to me before that you've told me that they set you up for failure, and not because they meant to, but because that is where they were themselves. Mm-hmm. And when I heard you say that, I was wondering, was there ever a time, because that is true, they set you up for failure, but it wasn't intentional knowing what they mm-hmm. didn't know. But when you're dealing with your healing and you're looking at those harder things that you hadn't looked, did you ever just get mad? Because now you're a mom and you have a son. And was there ever like, what the heck? Like, how mm-hmm. could you do this to me? I mean, because mine's when we look at the truth through different eyes mm-hmm. and we drop the loyalty and just, I got to get some healing here. Mom and dad are, you know, they're with Jesus now, right? But I got to get help. And mm-hmm. so did it get ugly in your head for a minute there? Like, man, how could they do this? Like, who does that? Who sets a kid up for failure? I don't care that you didn't have what you needed. You, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a mom and I'm making it. I'm doing mm-hmm. what I can. Did that ever come to?
Well, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy in there, because you've heard us talk about, if you've gone to our class and you've heard us on our podcast, that there is that younger part of us that is wounded. So even though now the biological clock has, we keep ticking forward, we're still operating out of that belief.
Yeah.
So uh-huh. realizing that emotionally I was still about an 8-9-year-old, even though yeah. I was 40, because that's where my emotions kind of got halted. So even though you're an adult, you're still operating as though you are a child emotionally. So you're thinking, I mean, we think our parents can do anything, right?
Right.
If they would want to do different, they would just do different.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right? They have all the power. They yeah. have all the say. They get to make they get to make all the choices. So obviously right. they're choosing not to be there for me.
Mm. Yeah.
And which then as a kid, what you tell yourself is, well, I guess I'm not worth love. Mm,
the very thing you're trying to find.
Yes, I don't matter, because if I was worth it, they would have chose differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of us, you know, may have stories like that where you really do feel that, you know, they could have done differently. Why didn't they do differently? Yeah. And there really was a place inside of me where I went from total loyalty to everything that they did, everything that they said. I know you guys have heard me maybe mention on here before. I know I've talked about it in class where I remember after my mom passed away, counselor pulling out a chair across from me. And she's like, what do you want to tell your mom? And I remember looking at the chair. Now, again, I'm like 36, 37, maybe like 36. It was fairly recently after she had passed away. And I was still nowhere where I was at all. And I said, I don't want to say anything.
Still afraid.
The counselor was still like, what if that's your only way to heal? And I remember saying, then I guess I won't heal. Because
was there like anger in you when you said that?
It was a
like inside of you?
It was a disloyal. I felt like I was being disloyal. It meant I didn't love them. It meant they were wrong, right? We don't want to think our parents are wrong. We don't want to think that. And especially in church, we're taught, you know, honor your father, honor your mother, whatever happens, you know, honor them. They're the authority. And so all that stuff gets taught to you to where it's like, you're asking me to say bad things about them, which were true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you can heal. And I still chose them. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in class and I hear people where they can't get to that place, I totally relate because as I began to mature and then go through this program that I'm talking about, I was able to say to myself, I can love them or I can love me. Mm. That was my initial.
It was an either or.
It was an either or. So I'm an awful daughter if I don't choose them.
Gotcha.
Now, mind you, they weren't even living anymore. So those who are living, that's hard enough, but then they're not even here and they still have that pull from the grave. That story is still plain. They matter. They matter. Mm-hmm. They matter. And but you know, if they could look down from heaven, they'd be saying, Denise, choose you. They'd be yelling, choose you.
Yeah, they wouldn't be
saying, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
Now on earth, they probably would have, right?
Right.
But even then, it still wasn't free. Their death did not free me.
Yeah.
So we think I'll be glad when they're gone. I'll be, you know, when they die, it'll all be fine. And I'm like, no, it's going to still be there because I'm living proof of it. So in all that, basically, long story long, as a friend of mine who's probably listening will understand who says that.
Long story
her
long.
Her hubby says it, yes. And I've loved it ever since.
I love that.
I know, right? And with all that, what I realized was the healthy way to look at it was I love them. And I love me.
Mm-hmm.
They have value, and so do I. So there's reasons why they were the way they were, but it's not an excuse that I didn't get what I needed. And so for me, that part of it there was no anger there. It gave me, I can just say, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can just say it.
Yeah.
Versus feeling bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a while to get there. It took a while to get there because I thought I was being a bad daughter. Yeah. And then you're speaking ill of the dead, quote unquote.
Yeah. Well, in an either or, if you have to choose in always being a provider in your family and looking out for the sisters, you're going to choose not you. I mean, that's just natural. But when you put an and in there, I can honor myself in my journey forward past 36. I can honor my parents for what they gave, which they led me to the Lord. And what they didn't give me, which is why I'm here now in getting in counseling, you know. So,
but it also, I mean, it also showed me, I mean, if you think about this, it also showed me that when you begin to build a stronghold in your life, which both my parents did, it gets bigger the older you get. Yeah. And then it's like, well, I don't want to admit that this is here. My mom had a ton of pride.
Mm.
It was all on appearances. I am how I look.
Yeah.
I gotta look good. She had a ton of pride, which means you can never say something's wrong, because then that means you're wrong, which means that's shame.
Yeah.
So even when you would try and bring up something, it just didn't go real well. So I mean, I think to myself, as you're, you know, going through this, you know, have you asked yourself? Because I had to get to the point where I asked myself, you know, your family, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, coaches, neighbors, pastors, you know. Did they know how to lovingly guide me? There's no shame and there's no sin in saying, no, they didn't. Did they know how to speak life into me as a little girl? No, they didn't know how to do it as an adult either, but that was already set in as a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the story I was still telling was it's because of me.
Right.
And that was the adult had to emerge and say it had nothing to do with me, but it spilled over into me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know my mom too, I mean, verbally shaming, you know, maybe some of you have been, you know, they've denied that they were your parent. They've abandoned you. My dad abandoned, even though he was still in the same home. You don't have to pack your stuff and leave to say I abandoned my family.
Yep.
You know, so you have to get to the place where you just really stop excusing their behaviors and say, you know what? It's not okay. I love them, but it's not okay. And if we don't get to the place, and I think to myself, if I never would have been able to look at that chair and say, you know what? It wasn't okay what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I would never have been able to change or heal.
No, because that's the first step is admitting that.
Confronting it. Yeah.
I had to acknowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I didn't want to acknowledge.
Something was wrong. Yeah.
What I didn't want to acknowledge. And so that really is it. If I had just stayed in the lie, they matter and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's wrong to say what really went on. Now, again, what are your motives? Are you yelling and screaming it at somebody? Or are you saying, look, this isn't okay?
Yeah.
I remember in the beginning, I went a couple times to the cemetery, even though I knew they weren't there, but that was the last place they were. So for me, as I was healing, I was just releasing them. And in my mind, like I said, I knew that they weren't there.
Sure.
But for me, the visual part, here are their names. Here are their names. So I just sat on the ground, you know, there and just said it, you know. I didn't yell it, but I just said it.
Yeah.
And like,
that's powerful.
Yes. And release them. Release
you're
them.
Not,
go ahead.
Oh no. Yeah. I was saying, yeah, you're releasing them. You're not letting them keep you quote unquote in jail. Right.
Yeah.
You're not letting them have that stronghold over you.
Mm-hmm.
You're releasing, and then you're freeing yourself by doing that.
Yeah, because I thought to myself, and I've said it so many times, that they stole so much from me and my sisters when they were alive. I didn't want them to steal from me from the grave.
Yeah, that's
huge.
Yeah,
and it would have, and it took a lot. So those of you who say it's hard and it's exhausting, and it is.
Yeah.
But I don't want to think about where I would be right now. I don't think about where Alex would be right now.
Yeah.
Hey, renovators. We just want to take a pause in our conversation here to welcome our sponsor, CJ Warren, located here in Crown Point, Indiana. CJ Warren is a full service salon, anywhere from skin to hair. And a lot of you guys have said that you love my hair. So let's take a listen to Karina, who is the owner, and why she decided to sponsor Renovating You.
Every year we set a goal as a salon where we want to put our energy as far as with each other and our guests, the other businesses that we support. And this year in December, we decided that it should always come from a place of love. So that was our goal this year. It was like, make sure that everything we do and support is from a place of love. And I was so inspired by the things you were telling us about your passion in this podcast and renovating you, where you came from with it and what your all-time goal is with it to help people just really renovate themselves and be their best person and start from the inside out. And it just spoke to me about, you know, what we do is very outward. We're serving other people. We're doing it from a place of love in a way to help them look beautiful on the outside. And you're just doing the same exact thing from the inside. I just thought that was so wonderful and that we could support your cause because we feel the same way. We want to help people put their best face forward. We want to see people's true beauty shine through. And definitely when you have that inner peace and inner joy, it's reflected in your appearance. And the two together are like the perfect combination to show what true beauty is. So we're excited to be able to support this podcast.
So if you are in Northwest Indiana and you would like a new do and a new you, visit CJ Warren here in Crown Point, Indiana.
Well, you know, I'm thinking you're talking about the, you know, the confronting part.
Mm-hmm.
And the next part we're going to have you talk about is the conquering part of this. And, you know, I think it's interesting because everybody wants... Let's go from, I look at it, I'm going to investigate, and then I'm going to conquer this thing.
Yep, boom.
Right, bam,
go.
We're done.
Yep.
Step
one. We want to skip B.
Yeah, one, two, and three. I'm going
to
overlook
two.
Yeah. And so so we've done the hard work, right? We're looking at that. And as you mentioned, you said we want to get to the conquering, the victory lap, the yes, I beat it without the confronting.
Yep.
But the victory comes in realizing I'm not my past.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't define me. But it certainly has influenced my choices at school, in dating relationships, in the workplace, and yes, even the spiritual self. So you want to unpackage that a little bit as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, we all want to conquer. We all want to, all of a sudden we can visualize ourselves, you know, crossing the line for the marathon. You know, we don't want to get off the couch to get to the 5K.
Now you're hitting home. No.
I'm going to run a 5K in September. It's going to happen again. I've done it before, but Mama's got to return. But anyway, so we just don't, because that's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
Confronting it.
Yeah.
We think the conquering really is, but really it isn't. It's the confronting, because the confronting is where the lies are turned over, shaken. It's almost like Jesus, when he overturned the money tables, it's like flipping over the lie.
Yeah, it is.
And everything spills, and it's like, this isn't what you thought it was.
Yeah.
This is not the truth.
Yeah.
This is not the truth. And so when you want to conquer, conquering gives you hope, right?
Yes.
But so many times in my life, I wanted to conquer, but the hope was half-hearted because I hadn't confronted.
Yeah.
I was trying to find an end game to run a different plan, somehow I don't have to go through all that.
Yeah.
Somehow. And I remember early on, I quoted this from this book, but it was like life-changing for me in Joyce Meyer's Beauty for Ashes, where she talked about you don't get over things.
Yeah, you get through them.
You have to go through them to get to the other side. And that's how you really conquer.
Yeah.
That's how you really conquer. So hope is a big deal, is a really big, really, really big deal. Because if you don't have hope, you don't have the desire to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You've just accepted it. You sit in your mess. You decorate your mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
Paint it.
Yes, you decorate it. So hope that things could be different, that I can learn what to do. It isn't too late to make changes. That's hope. Not manage, but change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many of us just settle for managing. Now we try and manage the mess.
Mm.
We get angry at the mess, and now we're just going to try and manage it,
mm-mm,
make it a little better. It's going to look a little better, but God wants to change it.
Yeah,
I mean,
so confront it.
Yes, I mean, I have quoted it so many times in my life, you know, that God wants to restore the years the locusts have eaten away.
Yeah.
A lot of us have lost years. I lost decades, but I've lived more life in the last 11 years than I, or 10 years than I did all the years up to that, because there's been freedom, there's been joy, there's been change, there's been hope, there's been new belief systems, and everything I've been through. I mean, it's like, even in that, it was like the Lord wanted to use all that. He's used all that in this ministry, right?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been enough for me to be like I was with my parents and just enable them and say, I know they're doing the best they can. I'm teaching a class on they're doing the best they can.
Yeah, all right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It wouldn't have, because all I would have done was saying there is no hope.
Yeah.
This is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
We're trying to Febreze it for you.
Yep.
In Jesus' name.
Deal with it.
Make the sign of the cross.
Absolutely. And we wouldn't need a class on this is the best they did if that was the best they did.
Right? I know. Exactly. So, I mean, I didn't want to manage. I wanted to change it. And God wanted that for me, too. And to use all my energies to be righting the wrongs, correcting the unhealthy belief systems. But so new is possible, but not with the old way of the past.
Right.
It just can't be done. So you can't have all the same mindsets. I couldn't have parented Alex differently from 2011 on if I hadn't gone to where I went.
Mm-hmm.
I just would have kept repeating it.
Yeah.
So hope can cause the shift that will last a lifetime, true transformation. We can be taught because we're teachable. So I keep telling myself, I'm still teachable. I read things. I listen to things. I'm like, teach me. Okay, I don't know it all. Teach me. I want to know. We can make different choices because we have confronted the old beliefs. But something I've realized too, and that's why they did that in-group setting. That's why we're big proponents of find your people, right?
Yeah.
How many times have we talked about
that? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Find your people and choose wisely who your people are. But we can't do it alone. It's too hard. It reminds us of our past. I'm alone. No one is messed up like me. I have to pretend that I'm different to be liked. We need a place with no judgment but grace.
Mm-hmm.
That healing is a journey, and it takes time. It takes people on the same path wanting to be different as well to be part of our lives. you know, I started this journey. We talked about, you know, for my son, and then wanted it for me. And I needed and still do a place where I can share what I've learned as well as glean from others' journeys. Mm-hmm. Each and every story matters. I want you guys to know that, you know, not just our stories matters. Alex could have had the mic, you know, Brent, you know, Scott, everybody could have had the mic. Everybody's stories matter. And up until now, maybe you've thought the end has already been written.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're 65 yeah. and you're like, you're 80 and you're like, it's not done. So I just want to invite you, and I know that you guys feel the same way, to turn the page and invite others who are healing as well to help you author your next chapters.
Mm, yeah, so good.
Yeah.
Because we weren't meant to do this life alone. I believe that we all need people. All of us do. I don't care who we are, whether we're male, female, old, young, married, single, who help provide strength, mm-hmm. who give us support any time of the day, and who create a safe place for us to land as we walk out this next leg in our journey. And I mean, if you guys, you know, desire help along the way, if you need hope that your life can really be different, that lasting and transformational change is more than possible, I'm here to tell you it's doable.
Yes.
Because my life really is a testament of God's power, his transformational power. Of redeeming a story, of changing trajectory, of changing and breaking cycles. So,
and not being defined by your past.
Exactly.
Almost using it as a launching pad for you and future generations and other women that'll come alongside and say, well, if Denise, that happened to her, God can certainly work this out.
Yes.
We give each other hope.
Yes.
And that's what's so needed.
And my hope is that the younger you are and you listen to us, or you're in class, or you're like that, you learn it earlier than I did.
Yes.
Because I didn't have the information, but run to it. Know that you matter. We want to run from it sometimes. We don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do the time. But we don't realize is that time is being stolen from us. Joy is being stolen. Experiences are being stolen. And we've just sat, a lot of us, in our mess and said, this is as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not really worth anything else.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
The enemy has definitely pulled the wool over our eyes. What was that, Bethany?
Oh, no, I was going to say, and if you don't confront it, it's going to weigh heavier on you. And that's a choice.
Well,
certainly.
Because you can carry a backpack
for
a mile if you had to load it with bricks and said, if you don't, you're going to die. But tell somebody you're going to do it for the next year. Well, imagine doing it 60 years.
Yeah, yeah.
The havoc it plays on you, the heaviness, the weight, the hopeless, the loss of energy, no dreams, no excitement about
anything.
No creativity.
Nothing.
None of it.
No connection.
None of it. You're just existing.
Yeah.
Carrying your backpack of lies.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Denise. I have so enjoyed the last 2 weeks getting to know you. Of course, I know you very well, but just unpacking the story and getting into your world and watching where you've come, you know, from just a couple years that I've known you, and just to see the transformation of what God can do when you say yes and have the courage to say, I'm here, Lord, use me, you know. But until we do that, until we get and sit long enough in our pain and ask for help, man, God is a God who hears and who is near. And your story is one that brings many of our listeners today hope. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So, Bethany, do you want to tell our listeners where they can find more hope?
I was going to say that your message. I hope that's the word. Mm-hmm. It brings hope to people, and that the sentence. It's never too late.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. It is a choice.
And when someone says, "Why bother? I'm 50," the answer is because I matter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's why I bother.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're worth it. Yes, I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you again. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook at Renovating You. You can also find us on our website at renovatingyou.com. Make sure you head there quickly because you do get a freebie when you are on our website. So go check that out, see what it's all about. And I hope it blesses you.
Well, we hope this has been as good for you as it has been for us.
Yes,
we have enjoyed it. Awesome. It's been awesome just to share and just to kind of let you guys into our heads and into our hearts, into our stories, into where we are currently and where we want to go and how we still have to course correct.
Yes.
But now what's exciting is that all three of us now have the tools.
Yes.
Yes.
So you may have an off day, an off moment.
It's okay.
But it's you okay. Don't have an off month,
no.
An off year, an
no.
off decade,
yeah.
Because you have the tools. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, nope, back, that was a lie. Now mm-hmm. I know what truth is. No, you're believing the lie,
mm-hmm.
not trying to convince yourself it was a lie.
No, you are believing a lie.
Yeah, no, this yeah. is what the truth, this is really what God says
yeah.
about, and this what he says about us, what he says about you, and we hope that you are encouraged, and I'm sure, I think it'd be kind of hard for a listener not to relate to one of the stories.
I hope,
right.
yeah.
Hopefully we've covered it all. There yeah. are many lies, but they fall under the kind of categories, I think.
They do. Big
so we appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. Feel free to comment, you know, rate our podcast, put a comment on there, give us a 5-star rating. That would mean a lot to us. Kind of encourages us to keep on keeping on. So until next time, renovators, we will see you later.
Bye-bye.